You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. God bless all of you for joining me this afternoon here on Radio Maria Canada. As you know, this month we are focusing on angels and the supernatural. And today, my dear brothers and sisters, we are going to talk about how to behave towards angels. You didn't know that, did you? All right, let's do Hail Holy Queen, brothers and sisters. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning, and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us, and after this, our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, my dear friends, you often wonder, you think, well, really? We have to know how to behave towards angels? Well, yeah, absolutely. Because we can treat them with too little respect or with a very submissive reverence that belongs to God alone. What seems like devotion can actually be a misplaced emphasis. So we're going to discuss how to navigate such obstacles as faithful Catholics. There is not a single creature, said St. John Vianney, which does not provide us with the means of reaching God. If any of them become an obstacle, he adds, it is only by our misuse of them. These words of wisdom are especially important as we consider the holy angels. We should practice gratitude for all that the angels do for us and cultivate an awareness of their pure and radiant presence. On the other hand, our fascination with them can be an obstacle in our path to God if we misuse it. So what does it mean to have an incorrect behavior toward the angels? How can we be sure that our own devotion to them is authentic, enabling us to collaborate with them in their work? Well, here we go. First of all, the instinctive human response to angels. Angels are mentioned hundreds of times throughout Scripture, often appearing to human beings. No matter when or where to whom the angels appear, a holy fear grips the men and women who look upon them. The prophet Daniel, Tobit and his son Tobias, and the parents of Samson, for example, all fell on their faces when they realized they had seen an angel of the Lord. The Roman centurion Cornelius stared in terror when an angel visited him. This may seem a little mysterious, right? But to those of us who've never experienced, received a visit from an angel, but on further reflection, especially considering the unearthly beauty and supernatural power of the angels, holy fear is a very fitting response. Human beings are overwhelmed by the divine light that angels reflect. Even Saint John the Apostle in his apocalyptic vision fell down instinctively at the feet of a great angelic being. But the angel put a stop to this immediately. "You must not do that," he said. Remember, it's in Revelation. In Revelation, actually, 22. "I am a fellow servant with you and your brethren, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God," right? So you don't bow down to them, right? "While it's true that the average Catholic knows that worship is due to God alone and has not the smallest inclination to worship angels, there are departures from this kind of authentic devotion," right? The church saw this need that needed to be addressed. And so it's in the Directory on Popular Piety in the Liturgy. It was issued in 2001. The Vatican affirmed true devotion to the holy angels while warning us that popular devotion can give rise to possible deviations, okay? So, as sometimes happens, the faithful are taken by the idea that the world is subject to an incessant battle between good and evil spirits, in which a man is left at the mercy of superior forces and over which he's helpless, right? But such cosmologies bear little relation to the true gospel vision of the struggle to overcome the devil, right? So when the daily events, which have nothing to do with our progressive maturing on the journey towards Christ, right? Indeed, we need to ascribe all setbacks so as to ascribe all setbacks to the devil and all success to the guardian angels, right? There are other examples. Sometimes we can place so much emphasis on the angels that we inadvertently neglect our Lord, or leave him in the background. It's also possible to treat our relationship with the angels as a goal in itself, rather than seeing them as a companions and helpers on our way to our ultimate goal, God, our Creator. Right? And so the opposite tendency is to neglect the angels. We can fail to respect their presence in our actions and speech, and doing things that we would never do. We could see them, or we might never remember our personal guardian angel, thereby showing no gratitude to him for his steadfast presence. So an authentic and well-formed devotion to the angels has Jesus at its center. It leads to Christ. It makes him our aim. It deepens our love for him. It calls us to conversion and strengthens our relationship with our Savior. Okay? So, how can we practice proper devotion? Well, starting right now, first of all, brothers and sisters, develop to have a deep and devout gratitude to God for having placed these heavenly spirits of great sanctity and dignity at the service of men. Next is to have an attitude of devotion, deriving from the knowledge of living constantly in the presence of God. And the most beautiful one is the serenity and confidence in facing difficult situations, since the Lord guides and protects the faithful in the way of justice through the ministry of his holy angels. Don't you just love it, brothers and sisters? I'm sorry, it's my pencil. Did you understand that? The serenity and confidence, the calmness, accepting serenity and confidence, which involves trust in facing difficult situations, since the Lord guides and protects the faithful, you and me. So let's consider this. First, we can practice devout gratitude by thanking God in our daily prayers for the gift of the angels. We can also thank our guardian angel for his innumerable services to us and ask him to lead us closer to Christ. It's an excellent practice to greet our angel when we arise and to thank him at the end of each day. You know, that's one I've never thought about doing too much. I'm sorry to say. Well, I need help too, right? It's an excellent practice to greet our angel when we wake up and to thank him at the end of the day. And when we do this, we actually join Holy Mother Church, who venerates the angels. Second, we can foster an attitude of devotion by remembering the presence of God in our souls and the presence of the angels in our midst. Let us never say or do anything that would grieve them. We should instead practice charity in our actions and curb our tongue by only saying what is useful or kind. Okay? And finally, we can practice serene confidence in our Lord and in his heavenly host by entrusting our needs, our fears, our concerns to them, rather than allowing ourselves to be consumed by anxiety. Indeed, we can prove our confidence in God's angels when we seek their intercession, right? Saint Ambrose advised that we should pray to the angels who are given to us as guardians. Now, there's a little word of caution for you. Due to that general interest in angels, there are various non-Catholic articles, books, and films, and even presentations that claim to have authoritative knowledge on the subject. It's really best to avoid all proposed information that doesn't come from the authority of the Catholic Church. And maybe you already knew that or know that, but just in case, just beware where you're obtaining your information from, right? That's, make sure it's coming from the Catholic Church. Now that we know how to behave toward our angels, how can we imitate them? Although God, humans, and angels as entirely distinct creatures, we are called to share in their holiness. And so let's consider the angelic virtues and how can we practice them. Okay, you're going to say, are you trying to make me an angel, Christina? No, I'm not. But it's very important that we consider, you know, what can we do to help ourselves so that we grow closer to Christ, right? Plain and simple, that's what this is all about, isn't it? It's all about that, right? All right. So, here we go. To imitate angelic virtues is to grow in holiness. Correct, brothers and sisters? Obviously, right? Many, many live like angels in the midst of the world, right? Though when we talk about imitating and being aware of the angel's presence, number one would be fidelity is something to consider. That's an angelic character trait that we should all try to imitate, fidelity. And we can seek to imitate the fidelity of holy angels, but most of us forget that they were once tested. And just as we are, yet remained loyal to God, our good angels know what it means to choose God in an act of faith prior to beholding him face to face. So this should encourage us to practice trust in God during times of darkness. We can pray to the holy angels, especially our own guardian angel, for help in imitating their fidelity. Next one is humility. Humility is a profound virtue of the angels. Though we might be dazzled by their radiance and intelligence and strength and glory and their numerous perfections, the holy angels are profoundly aware that everything they have comes from God. They teach us to refer all that we have, all that we are, back to him, from whom all good things come. They are spiritual beings with nearly unimaginable power, and yet they use that power solely to glorify the Lord and to cooperate in his will, all with perfect joy. Think of Saint Gabriel. although he's one of the mighty archangels, he approached the Blessed Mother with such humility. When we struggle with pride, self-centeredness, and self-absorption, we can seek the intercession of the angels for the grace of humility. Okay? Next would be magnanimity, right? So according to the Catholic dictionary, magnanimity is greatness of soul, whose object is to perform actions that are great in the eyes of God, right? So a magnanimous soul strives to accomplish great things for God out of love for Him. And so in their ardent desire to bring about God's will in all things, the angels take on great tasks for Him. They oversee creation, defend God's church, and protect the souls of His people. Michael, who was from a lower choir of angels, rose up to fight against Satan, an angel from the highest hierarchy, and threw him out of heaven. Romans chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. Rather than feeling overwhelmed by our own duties, we can seek the intercession of the angels to accomplish with the spirit of magnanimity all that God has entrusted to us. Next would be obedience. We can marvel and even seek to imitate the perfect obedience of the angels. Whenever they appear in the pages of sacred scripture, they are acting in obedience. They are willingly fulfilling God's desires and commands. They united their will with God's. They united their will with God's when they freely chose to serve Him. And now they obey in perfect freedom. When we're tempted to always insist upon our own way or to resist over a minor command from a legitimate authority, we can contemplate the obedience of the angels and pray that we might obtain the grace to imitate it. Next is divine love. We should desire to obtain the love of the angels, right? All the angels in heaven love God perfectly, and they love us too. Remember that love, properly defined, is not an emotion that comes and goes. To love is to will the good of another. Did you hear that one? So it's not love that is an emotion that comes, that, you know, changes like the wind. No, it is to will, is to will the God, will the good of another. It is difficult to love our neighbor sometimes. It's difficult to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But we can reflect on the angel's love for God and for us and pray for the grace to burn with divine love ourselves. And the next one is silence. We can seek to practice the silence of the holy angels who are all absorbed in God. Silence, my dear brothers and sisters, and I've talked about this many a time. Silence enables us to be attentive to the holy inspirations that our guardian angel gives us. It enables us to listen for God's voice and to be receptive to His call for interior conversion. Instead of indulging in constant noise in our lives through the TV, the car radio, the phone, the constant chatter with other people, we should intentionally carve out time for silence in our daily lives, a holy silence, a supernatural silence. That's a dimension of the soul's response to God, right? Next is temperance. The virtue of temperance helps us to maintain self-control over our sensitive between physical and emotional appetites. Angels do not have sensitive appetites as we do. In that respect, they do not practice temperance. However, when they made the choice for God in their time of testing, they demonstrated temperance through holy mastery of self and the good use of one's powers. They definitively chose to subject themselves to God and his holy laws. We can look to this as an example and ask the holy angels to pray that we might do the same whenever we're faced with an occasion of sin. Well, brothers and sisters, we are just moving along here. And, I just have to get to my little info here. So we've talked a lot about that, which is great. And now let's move along, and we're going to go into the aspect of the lessons from the angels on prayer and adoration. The holy angels, the sublime teachers that they are, instruct us through their own example. Many saints were privileged to glimpse the angels of prayer, and the descriptions of such visions, they're so beautiful and humbling to read. It reminds us that we fall short in our own reverence to God. With our human weaknesses and limitations, we're not able to pray as beautifully and brokenly as do the hosts of God. But that does not mean we're not unable to improve our prayer with angelic example and assistance. Their prayer and adoration can deeply inspire us. We can ask them to help us pray with greater attention of the mind and devotion of the heart, right? So that those are the two ingredients of a perfect prayer, right? And there's a couple of lessons that we can learn from the angel's example. Number one, pray always. When St. Paul told us to pray without ceasing, he really meant it. Of course, he did not expect devout Catholics to be on their knees in a church every moment of every day. If we were to do so, we'd have to abandon the responsibilities that God has given us. Yet we can strive to pray unceasingly by quietly speaking to God throughout our day and by frequently directing our thoughts to Him. We can cultivate a spirit of prayer that is constant, though it may take years of practice to do so. The holy angels, of course, perfectly accomplish ceaseless prayer, right? So, next one would be humbly adore God in prayer. In 1915, when the angel of peace appeared to the three children of Fatima in order to prepare them for Our Lady's visit, he began by teaching them a prayer. He also demonstrated a humble manner in which to conduct themselves while they prayed. In the words of Lucia dos Santos, the eldest of the Fatima seers, kneeling on the ground, she said, bowed down until his forehead touched the ground and made us repeat these words three times. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon for all those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon for all those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon for all those who do not believe, who do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. Then, rising, he said, pray thus, the hearts of Jesus and Mary are attentive to the voice of your supplications. His words engraved themselves so deeply on our minds that we could never forget them. Not only did the angel teach them a powerful prayer of adoration, he also demonstrated a reverent posture with which to say it. Kneeling is a particular, I have trouble with my knee. I can stay on it for a bit, but not much. Like, you know, maybe a minute, maybe not quite. Not only did the angel teach them a powerful prayer, but kneeling is a particularly important posture for prayer because it's an attitude of humility and submission. The way in which we use our body forms and guides our interior disposition. which means that the humble gesture of getting on our knees encourages humility of spirit. Worship properly and intentionally at Holy Mass. The angels can also help us obtain more grace from the sacraments by inspiring us to receive them with greater fervor. This is especially true during Holy Mass. So next time when you're at Mass, your guardian angel is with you, of course. Just as the guardian angels of the priest and of the entire congregation are also in attendance, we are literally flanked on all sides by angels. And so, to borrow the words of a 6th century liturgy, the angels are moving among us and mingling with us at Mass. We often forget the presence of our guardian angels, and they are not the only angels present, right? Some holy men and women have been privileged to witness the angels in attendance at the sacred liturgy, and their accounts transform the way we approach the Mass. St. Bridget of Sweden said, "One day when I was assisting at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, I saw an immense number of holy angels descend and gather around the altar. Contemplating the priest, they sang heavenly canticles that ravished my heart. Heaven itself seemed to be contemplating the great sacrifice, and yet we poor, blind, and miserable creatures assist at the Mass with so little love, relish, and respect." St. John Chrysostom, he says, "I myself have heard someone once relate that a certain aged, venerable man who often saw revelations used to tell that he once saw a multitude of angels clothed in shining robes and encircling the altar and bending down as one might see soldiers in the presence of their king." St. Basil and St. Chrysostom were also permitted to see the angels at Mass, right? The angels, they said, were bowed, their faces covered, their hands crossed, and the whole body so profoundly inclined as to express the deepest sense of their own unworthiness to appear before the divine majesty. My goodness, oh, would we but think of this, the angels, those pure spirits, shrink before the infinite holiness of God, and we allow vain, worldly, and even sinful thoughts to insinuate themselves in our own mind in his presence. The angels tremble before his greatness, and we fear not to talk and laugh in his presence. The angels, those princes of heaven, are all humility and modesty, and we, the dust of the earth, and miserable sinners, all impertinence and pride. The angels veil their faces before his splendor, and we do not even so much as cast down our eyes, but rudely stare and gaze around. The angels bow down to the earth, and we will not bend our knee. Wow, what a lesson for all of us. Brothers and sisters, finally, you can ask the angels for help. Oh, and time is up, but I will leave it at that. So, you know, you can ask them into prayer. Use them. They're there for you. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today as we continue our beautiful journey on angels and the supernatural. God bless and bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. And single day.